You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Wednesday, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome into the Locked On Kings podcast, your hub for Sacramento Kings coverage, conversation, interviews, highlights. We have it all right here for you on Locked On Kings all year long, back to daily. My name is Matt George, your host. I have the privilege of working for Sports 1140 KHDK as an on-air host and multimedia journalist. You should recognize that radio station as the flagship radio station of your Sacramento Kings, where you can hear the G-Man, Gary Gerald, Jason Ross, and the rest of the crew call in Kings games each and every single day. Game night. I apologize as this podcast comes out late today on Wednesday, or you maybe even listen to this on Thursday. That's because I've been waiting to track down this guy, and finally we got some opening and some free time to chat for about 20 minutes. Jason Anderson of the Sacramento Bee is going to be joining me. He is the brand new beat writer for the Kings, and you're going to want to listen to what this guy has to say, and just pay attention and follow him on social media if you don't already, at J Anderson Sac Bee. He also has an incredible article that's going to be coming out tomorrow, Thursday, online and on print Friday in the Sacramento Bee newspaper. So you need to keep tabs on that, because it's a very interesting article about the Kings playing in the city of Seattle, how Seattle's trying to deal with getting a team there. It's going to be a lot of great stuff. But Jason is going to be joining me here for about 20 minutes, so please sit back, relax, and enjoy it, and I will talk to you on the other side. There's a lot of new surrounding this Sacramento Kings team heading into the start of the 2018-2019 NBA season. There's a lot of new in the press that covers them, as this guy, Mr. Jason Anderson, nice enough to join us here for the first time on the Locked On Kings podcast. He is the brand new beat writer for your Sacramento Kings, for the Sacramento Bee. Been doing a phenomenal job already, hitting the ground running with the start of training camp and preseason basketball. He has been all over that Sacramento Kings beat. I'm excited to bring him here, hopefully not for the last time on the Locked On Kings podcast. Jason, welcome in. Congratulations on the new job. Looking forward to having you covering this team.
No, thank you so much, Matt. Thanks for having me on the podcast.
So I want to dive in first and foremost with training camp. You know, we've heard these players and Coach Dave Yeager seemingly saying the right things. We have perceived strengths. We don't completely know for sure with such a young team, but we have these perceived strength with the speed of De'Aaron Fox, the athleticism of Marvin Bagley or Willie Cauley-Stein and Harry Giles, that this team should be running, should be pushing the tempo and getting up and down the floor. Now, that's what these players have been saying they're working on, and we've seen flashes of it in the final 10 minutes or so of practice. But for you, actually being there, watching this team and covering this team and talking to these players in person, do you firmly believe that this is actually a 100% their number one focus heading into this next season?
Yeah, I believe they're committed to it. How they execute it, I think, remains to be seen. We don't get to see much of practice. As you alluded to a moment ago, we're allowed into practice for usually about the last 10 minutes. Sometimes they're running drills once or twice. They've been scrimmaging, and so we get to see a little bit of it there. But you know, I think these games are going to have to unfold a little bit over the course of the next couple weeks before we really get an idea of the tempo and the pace that they're going to play with.
The Kings playing tomorrow night in taking on the Los Angeles Lakers tomorrow night, and then they're in Seattle on Friday to take on the Golden State Warriors in the next games 2 and 3 of the preseason. I want to ask you about last night's or a couple nights ago preseason win over the Phoenix Suns. But before that, we talked about this on Monday's podcast. I saw one of your tweets, which is an interesting observation, just little nuggets that you pull away from training camp, and you were talking about seeing Scal Labissiere and Harry Giles playing together in full court scrimmage scenarios. Have there been any other nuggets from recent training camps and practices that you've noticed that are just little interesting things for fans to know or to keep your eye on heading into these preseason games?
We haven't seen much over the last couple of days. Of course, the team was on the road. They were back today. I can't say anything really jumped out about that, although Coach Yeager was asked today about a lineup that he used in a just for a couple of minutes in Phoenix, and it was you know, he used four big guys with Frank Mason, which was interesting. He called it the 4-7s lineup because four of those guys are you know, close to 7 feet tall, or in fact 7 feet tall. So that I think that caught a lot of people by surprise. I know he commented on the air with Grant and Doug yesterday that that we're going to see more of that, and that it's kind of how they're built, and that it's a way to be able to play and develop some of the guys on the roster that they feel like they need to play and develop. So, you know, over the last couple of days, I'd say that's the most interesting thing, is that he's going to experiment with kind of a really a pretty big lineup. And I'm curious to see how that works.
Yeah, what do you read into that? Are you expecting to see he's experimenting with this lineup just for the sake of getting minutes to young guys to really see what he has and getting them ready during preseason when you can get away with it? Or do you actually get the sense that this is something that the Kings might be able to use in spots during the regular season?
You know, I don't know. That's a great question. It's not one he's really answered directly. That group in particular, I don't know that works in the regular season. I think it's fine to experiment with it in the preseason. If Bielitsa was available, if Bogdanović was available, if you could get a bigger lineup out there that had some shooters to create some spacing, I could see where maybe you run with that during the regular season a little bit and see if maybe you can find something. I don't know. I don't know how much he's going to do that during the regular season. Harry Giles made a great point today that, you know, the league is constantly changing and it was interesting. And so, you know, he's right. The league, it does change. Right now it's more of a small ball, but, you know, maybe if you zig while others are zagging, you can find something that works. But I think it's going to take some time, to see if that's the case or not.
A lot of the Kings veterans did not play in the preseason opener. Zach Randolph, Kosta Koufos, Iman Shumpert, all not even suiting up or not getting out there for the team. That's actually something that I like and I prefer. I want to see the majority of the minutes going to these young guys going forward. Do you have any indication, or have you gotten any sense from interacting with Coach Yeager and this coaching staff that he's planning to lean heavily on the young guys, or would you expect come opening night and the start of meaningful games, we'll see a lot more of Randolph and Koufos?
No, I've asked him that question. I think he's on record being committed to playing the young guys more. And I've asked him specifically about Zach, whether Zach would see limited minutes this year or whether his role would be similar to what we saw last year. And he responded again by saying that, no, we're going to play the young guys. So, you know, I think they're going to roll with that. I wouldn't expect to see a lot of Randolph. Koufos, I think that I'm not sure yet how much he's going to get to play, but I think you're going to see an awful lot of these young guys.
Is De'Aaron Fox ready to be the star and be the leader for this team?
Personality-wise, I certainly think he is. He's shown some leadership. He's emerging as the face and as the leader of this team. You know, I think we need to wait and see what kind of how his game looks this year and what kind of progress he's made. You know, I think he averaged last year about 11.5 points a game, 4.5 assists, roughly. I think some expected more. I think De'Aaron expected more. I think he's capable of more. And you know, going into his second year, I would expect a lot of things to kind of slow down for him, expect the game to slow down. And I don't mean his style of play. I mean, you know, what's happening around him. I think he'll have a better feel for it. And I would expect a significant improvement in him this season.
Buddy Hield started at the two spot, didn't do too much in the stat column, but also didn't get a plethora of minutes in that preseason opener. Not that we're going to read too far into that any which way or the other, but that might have changed or might have been a direct effect of Bogdan Bogdanovic being out for the start of the season, not expected to return until the end of October, beginning of November time. With Bogdan Bogdanovic healthy, did you expect Buddy to be that starting two guard consistently for this team, or do you still think Dave Joerger and the Kings are wanting to use him as that score six man off the bench?
That's a really good question. It's a question I've been wondering myself. I don't want to get into Dave's head. He has not told us. He has not answered that question. And from what I understand, he keeps things pretty close to the vest. And I don't think he would answer the question if you were just to ask him straight up, who's your starting five. I know a lot of people would like to see Buddy and Bogey starting together along with De'Aaron. I think a lot of that depends on Buddy. Last year, he started for a period of time and then just kind of showed that he was better in a backup role. But I think it would be big for this team for him to take a step forward. He's a tremendous 3-point shooter, one of the best in the league, I think, or certainly capable of being one of the best in the league. And if they can get him out there doing those things against opposing starters instead of backups, I think it spaces the floor out, gives Fox and others lanes, gives them some room to drive. I think that's probably what's best for this team. But I think a lot of that's going to depend on Buddy and what he's able to do early in the season.
Contract year for Willie Cauley-Stein, and he was very open and honest during media day about wanting to get paid this year. A lot of fans took exception to that. I think they blew it way out of proportion and made a bigger deal really out of nothing. Of course, Willie wants to get paid. He's seen guys like Clint Capella and DeAndre Jordan, very similar players to his skill set, get paid, and he wants to be the next to cash in. Of course, who wouldn't? Willie has always had a tendency to just pretty much say what was on his mind, which could lead at times to him putting his foot in his mouth a little bit, but he did come out in the preseason, ended with 12 rebounds, but that really wasn't a clear indication of how much or how big of a contributor he would have been had he played a whole normal NBA game, because he had 11 rebounds and 8 points at the end of that first half. What did you like from what you saw out of Willie Cauley-Stein in that preseason opener?
Well, he looked strong. He looked aggressive. There was a lot to like, I thought. I may be one of the few who expects to see Willie take a fairly significant step forward this year. I think, as you said, it's a contract year. He wants to get paid. It's important to his future that he shows something this year. And, in fairness to Willie, he's taken a step forward, I think, every season so far in his career. It's been in small increments, maybe smaller than some people would like. And he's certainly been more or less consistent than people would like. But there are some big time abilities there with Willie. And I think the Kings have a sense that if he puts that all together over the course of a season, develops some consistency and really plays to his potential, I could see him. I could see him having a career year.
I've been bantering back and forth a lot with Kings fans over the last couple of days about Marvin Bagley. Really, I've been bantering with them all summer long. I, like many of them, wanted or expected the Kings to take Luka Doncic. I was a bit surprised when they went with Marvin Bagley, but I also understand it in terms of what they're trying to do and what he can bring to the team, at least on paper. There are very clear struggles and very big holes in his game that we've seen both from Summer League and from that preseason game, especially on the offensive end. But I also think that he showed a lot of growth and strides already defensively from Summer League just to that first preseason game. That clutch block against DeAndre Ayton late was certainly a welcome sight to see. Where are you at on Marvin Bagley, and what is fair criticism and what is overreaction?
I think we need a larger sample size to really judge Marvin in particular. We just haven't seen enough. I will say, he's not real strong with the right hand at this point, which everybody knows, which I think is going to limit him in the post. I think we saw some of that in the summer league already, where defenders just overplayed him on the left side and really were able to to kind of shut him down on the block. I think they need to get creative in how they're using him. They need to, get him the ball out on the wing, on the elbow, some pick and rolls, things like that. I don't know that the post game is going to be his strong suit at this point in time. I would expect him to make the effort plays, utilize his quickness, his jumping ability. There's no reason he shouldn't be a good rebounder this year. That didn't show up the other night, frankly.
Yeah.
I think it's too early to say that he's not going to be able to do that over the course of the year.
I do agree completely about the rebounding. Two rebounds, in my opinion, is completely unacceptable for the 25 minutes that he got, especially with that skill set and what you need him for. The offense will come with time. Defense hopefully will come with time as well. But those intangibles, that ability to rebound, that nose for the basketball and grit and determination should be something that we see out of him right out of the gate, because that shouldn't have to be taught. Going into this game against the Los Angeles Lakers tomorrow night, Jason, is there anything that you're really looking out for or wanting to keep an eye on, any adjustments that you're trying to see or stuff that you expect from this team in that game?
I really want to keep an eye on the tempo and the pace, and that is the big commitment they've made. I think it's important to this team. They were last in pace last year. They were last or near last in three-point attempts, even though they were one of the better three-point shooting teams in the league. And so I think if you push the pace, play with some, up-tempo and shoot some threes, I think that this team, I think they can, I think they're capable of doing more than they've done over the last, 12 years, frankly. But that's important. They've got to do it. They've got to execute it. And I'm not real sure that we saw that in Phoenix. I think maybe in spurts, but to me, it looked like they were trying to run the offense faster rather than it looked like they were hurrying with the ball, trying to run the offense faster rather than actually playing an up-tempo transition game. And I think that's what they want to do. And I'm interested to see if that's what they're going to do.
I'm curious to get your take on Justin Jackson. I feel like I'm bagging on the guy a little bit too much or constantly pointing out his flaws. He said himself that he's trying to silence the critics a little bit and tune out from social media. We've seen what he can be as an offensive weapon. He had a good summer league this year, also had a good summer league his rookie year, but that hasn't really translated to when he's with the main roster in a starter capacity. Far too many times last season and already in one preseason game, we've seen him as a starting three with zero. 1, 2, 3 points and only in 19 to 20 minutes as a starter in that three spot. What is the best case scenario in your opinion for Justin Jackson? How can the Kings use him at his most effective?
Well, he's an interesting question. He surprisingly shot only 30.8% from 3-point range last year. And I think Justin would tell you, and I think the Kings believe he's capable of shooting the ball a lot better than that. He showed that in summer league. That's the kind of player I think they want him to be. We didn't see that during the regular season last year. We didn't see it in Phoenix. I don't know if we will see it this year, but I've heard some people around the team say that he's actually looked really good in training camp and that they expect much better things from him. But he's going to have to prove that on the court when it counts.
All summer long on the Locked On Kings podcast, I've been discussing different definitions of what a successful season looks like for the Kings. I've asked a lot of different guests, I've asked listeners and Kings fans. I've changed my definition a number of times personally, but I'm curious if I were to ask you that. In your opinion, what does a successful season this year look like for the Kings?
Yeah, my answer to that question has gone back and forth as well. It's kind of interesting that this – the Kings can get better and still lose more games in theory. I mean, because you don't just have to get better as a team. You have to get better relative to your competition. And I don't think they've done that. I think they can be a better team. I think each player as an individual could be better. But the other teams in the West just keep taking two steps forward while the Kings are trying to take one. So You know, I don't know. This is not an answer fans probably want to hear. It may be one they're resigned to, but I don't know that this team is going to win more games. But I think it can still be, I think it can still be an intriguing team because of the youth, the athleticism, the length that's on this roster. I think it's possible that that they could surprise some people and maybe even win more games if two, three, four of these young guys make a leap. And, you know, the good news is I think there are five or six guys on this team that are capable of making a leap and doing more than they've done in the past. So it's not out of the question that two or three of them start to make it click this year and really take a step forward. And if that happens, you know, they may be fun and exciting to watch. They may even win more games than they did last year.
Last thing for you, Jason. You've been working on an article. I've heard Grant Napier talk about it and preview it a little bit. This article that's going to be coming out tomorrow on the web and then in the print edition of the Sacramento Bee on Friday, covering and talking about the city of Seattle. They are hosting the Kings and the Warriors on Friday, and it has a lot to do with the saga of the Kings keeping their team when the Seattle Supersonics ended up leaving for Oklahoma City. Can you share a little bit more about what that article is going to be about and why in general we're just going to want to tune in?
Yeah, sure. Thank you for mentioning it. Yeah, I've been working on that the last day or so, talking to some people here in Sacramento who were closely linked to the struggle to keep the Kings in Sacramento. I've talked to a couple of people in Seattle who were involved in the fight to keep the Sonics. And, you know, and I think it's interesting to look at that, given that the Kings are going to play a game in Seattle. Seattle still is maybe a little bitter over the fact that they lost their team. Sacramento certainly understands those feelings after nearly losing the Kings. And so it's been interesting to talk to some folks about those experiences in the respective cities.
That is Jason Anderson, the new Sacramento Kings beat writer for the Sacramento Bee. And if you call yourself a Kings fan and are on social media and want to keep tabs on everything that's going on in Sacramento, you got to add Jason to your Kings news rotation now. And you can find him on Twitter at JAndersonSacBee right now. I highly encourage you to do that. Jason, it's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you for the first time here. I hope we can have you back on the podcast again. I look forward to meeting you in person inside the Golden One Center here in the coming weeks. Thank you so much for taking the time, my friend.
Same to you, Matt. Thank you.
It was an absolute privilege and a pleasure to have Jason Anderson on. That certainly will not be the last time that we have him here on the Locked On Kings podcast. Like I said there at the end, if you don't follow him on social media and you want to keep tabs on the Kings beat, you need to. At Jay Anderson Sacramento B, or actually it's at Jay Anderson Sac B, is his Twitter handle. Check out his article coming out on Thursday tomorrow online. And then if you get the print version of the Sacramento Bee newspaper, you'll see it on Friday. So be sure to stay tuned for that. I look forward to meeting Jason for the first time in the Golden One Center here as the Kings play back-to-back home games. Not really back-to-back, but their one home preseason game is against the Utah Jazz, and then they have their home opener against the Utah Jazz, which will be interesting. I'll be looking forward to meeting Jason then. We will return tomorrow, preview this Kings and Lakers game. Also have to talk about the little fun that we've been having today about the leaked photo of the Kings draft board on the whiteboard in Vlade Divac's office that came out today. We'll discuss all of that and more on the Thursday episode of the podcast coming tomorrow, so be sure to stay tuned for that. If you have a second to head over to iTunes and leave us a review on this podcast, it helps us out a lot. Let us know where we can improve. Give us a rating out of 5 stars. You can talk to me directly there. And if you also want to reach out to me just to talk sports, ask questions, talk Kings, share your opinion, you can do that on social media on Twitter at MattGeorgeKHDK. You can find me on Facebook, Matt George, or you can email me, mgeorge@saclocalmedia.com. I will talk to you tomorrow. Have yourself a great night. Go Oakland A's as they are taking on the New York Yankees in the Bronx from the wild card game. Hopefully they get the W tonight. That would certainly be a good story, and I'd be in a better mood for tomorrow's podcast. Have yourself a good night. This has been the Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.